Well, good morning. God bless your hearts. Great to be with the family of God, be it face-to-face or on the conference call fellowship. So these are great days to be living for our Heavenly Father. I know a lot of stuff going on in this world, but our focus is not on that. Our focus is on our Heavenly Father. He's the one that counts. And what I want to share with you this morning, I believe will change your lives forever. And if you can grasp what I'm going to share with you, you can have an exciting, tremendous life with your Heavenly Father. And what I want to share with you, I've titled Growing for God. Not growing with God, but growing for Him. And you'll see why I chose that title in a moment. You know, all of life is growing. God created life and it's growing. It's constantly growing. Plants, trees, they continue to grow. Animals, they're growing. You and I are constantly growing. Scientists say that after 7 to 10 years, our body changes, the cells come into play, old cells go, new cells come in, and we got a whole new body in 7 years. I always wondered, well, how come we getting old, you know, after this happens several times? But growth is a law of being. Violate that law, and you violate yourself. You become frustrated, unhappy. Because if you don't grasp the key here on growing for God, then life is a bummer. Life is challenging. So, and this is true mentally, that we are mentally growing, that we continue to grow with the things of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, we are unique in this world, very, very unique. Compared to any and everything in this universe, we stand out above anything else that God has done. Because when you got born again of God's Spirit, you became a new creation in Christ. And your life is not about yourself, it's about Him. All right? It's about Him. It's about doing His will for Him. We heard in the manifestations that we're wonderfully made for God, for Him. Isn't that fantastic? God has bought us with the precious blood of His Son, and He expects us to grow in His wisdom and love. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Amen. You don't belong to yourself. Who do you belong to?
Christ.
Yeah. Why? Because verse 20 says, for you are bought with a price. And what was that price? Did God put down $1 million for you? $1 billion? $1 trillion? No, something much more expensive.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, paid the price with His precious blood so that you could be God's child. Therefore, because you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And the rest of it's not in the text. But you belong to God Almighty. He bought you. You're not your own. God, now that we're His child, expects us to grow for Him. We are not ourselves. Now, I know the world promotes that we should be self-centered. You know, we should take care of ourselves. It says they want you to live for your life for yourself. And there's two ways you're going to live this life. You're either going to live it for yourself, are you going to live it for the Heavenly Father that bought you?
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Each and every believer, you and me, have the same challenge in life. It is either a self-centered life or a God-centered life. The world and the cultures of our world preaches, discover yourself, cultivate yourself, express yourself. It's all about a self-centered life. It's all about you. It's all about me, myself, and I. The believer's challenge is growing for God. Growing for God. We're shifting from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. The self-centered life ends with a self-frustrated person, but a God-centered life offers grace, love, power, and purpose. We are obligated to grow for Him because He bought us. Remember, we do not belong to ourselves. Our life is all about growing up for Him. Look at yourself. Who are you? You are a child of God. Amen. You are a child of God. I'm not Bob, Fred, Bill, Tom. I am a child of God. And that's what counts. What do we have as a child of God? Help me out here. What do we have as children of God? We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We have the victory in Christ. We have Holy Spirit in us, 9 manifestations. We have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. We have the peace of God. We are sanctified of Him. We're redeemed by Him. On and on and on. Christ in us.
Righteousness.
Hope of glory. On and on and on. This is our lifestyle. So how do we grow for God? How do we grow for God? I mean, I trust you recognize that when you really look at this life, it's not about you, it's about Him. And yet, what did God purpose but to have you at the center of His life? Wow! That's amazing when you think about that. So why not just give ourselves over to Him and grow for Him? So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, a great section in God's Word here about growing with God. And when you look at this section of God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, most people, they immediately go to verse 2, which talks about, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. But wait a minute. We need to read a little bit previous to this verse. We need to read verse 1 because this comes into play. This is an important part of our growth for God. So what does verse 1 talk about? Laying aside how much?
All
malice, guile, hypocrisy, envies, evil speaking. What do we do with those things? We lay them aside, all of them. I was looking up the definition of these different qualities of life. Malice is causing harm without justification. Or deceit, guile is deceitful planning to take advantage of others. Hypocrisy is acting like somebody you are not. Envyings, resentful feelings of others. And evil speaking, speaking evil of others. Those are horrible aspects to have in someone's life. We lay those aside. So if we're going to grow for God, we lay aside all of this junk that God identifies in His Word. Now, then we go to verse 2. As newborn babes, as if we were newborn babes. What does a newborn babe desire more than anything?
Milk.
Mother's milk. I'm a new granddad 6 months ago or so. Susie had Evan. And that little guy, you know what he loves more than anything else?
Mother's
milk. Yeah, he's a happy camper. So we as God's child, what should our desire be? What should our desire be? The sincere milk of God's word, that you may grow thereby. The word grow is the Greek word oxano in the Greek, defined as growth from the inside without compulsion. You know, plants, they grow. In God's word, this word oxano talks about the plants, the lilies of the field, they grow. That's that same word, they just grow, all right? Nobody's pulling them plants out of the ground, forcing them. They just grow. They get the nutriments and they grow. So, but there's something missing in the King James on this verse 2. And the text, in most of the text, there's the word salvation. Mm-hmm. What do you grow unto?
Salvation.
Salvation. Now, some of you have different translations. I have the King James. It's not in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what
Amplified.
In the Amplified? I know the NIV has it. Most of your newer translations have recognized in the text, Greek text, this word salvation is there. So with the Word of God, we may grow unto what? Our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Our salvation. Pretty neat, huh? Mm-hmm. We grow unto salvation. Now, the Greek word for unto, that preposition, is the word eis, E-I-S, meaning motion to or unto an object with the purpose of reaching it or touching it. We are to grow with the purpose of reaching our salvation so we can live it, so we can be it, so we can manifest it. Isn't that fantastic?
Amen.
Wow. We're growing in our salvation. We are complete in Him, right? Colossians 2:10, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
We are complete in Him. So now we're growing up into Him. Little Evan's got all the genes, all the chromosomes that he will need to establish who he is as a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not going to be some new thing thrown into his body that makes him change. He has it all complete, and we too are complete in Christ. But we need to grow up, just as Evan needs to grow up, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to feed ourselves the wonderful Word of God. God has filled us with so much. We have His righteousness, His Spirit, all the sonship rights. Now we want to use it. We want to be it. All right?
All right.
All right. Now, listen, we've got 2 points I've made for you to grow for God. What? Now, the first one is, what do? Lay aside all the junk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we feed on the milk of God's Word with the purpose to grow unto this awesome, dynamic salvation that exists within us. It's kind of like putting off the old and putting on the new. Now, does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the renewed mind. Mm-hmm. God teaches the renewed mind, where we put off the old man and put on the new man, that Christ in us. It also, this reminds me, this putting off and putting on reminds me of a situation that occurred in Ephesus that's recorded in Acts 19, if you'd like to go there. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, Paul was in Ephesus ministering, teaching. Many people were getting saved, born again. But Ephesus was steeped with idol worship. What was their main idol that they worshiped?
Diana.
Diana. Remember, and all the... There were so many metal workers and people that made these idols. They got upset with Paul, right? Because they were losing business. People were getting saved, born again, and they were worshiping the idols that these folks made. But people really grabbed onto this. A lot of the believers, they really grabbed onto this. And what did they do? Chapter 19, verse 19. Many of them also which used curious arts, Ouija boards, magic stuff, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. They got rid of the old junk that they were living their life by. They didn't let it hang out with them or let it just be in the closet and they'll be reminded of it in the future. No, they got rid of it. They got rid of the junk. And, you know, I've heard, what is 50,000 pieces of silver worth? And I've heard from $500,000 to $10 million, depending on what the preacher has learned about it. I don't know. A lot of money, though. So you get rid of the stuff. Verse 20, what happens next? So mightily grew, oxano, grew the word of God. And what else did it do? And it prevailed. It prevailed. It became a dominating force because people got rid of the old junk. They put on the word of God. They grew with that. And look out, they prevailed. They prevailed. So these are two great keys in growing for God. This is a great pattern to help us grow for God. So number one, we get rid of the stuff that takes you away from learning and living God's word. Be it certain lifestyle moods or manners or thinking that are ungodly. Activities of a worldly nature that steal your time from fellowshipping with the family of God. You figure out what holds you back and get rid of it so that you can be your best for Him. So we're getting rid of the junk. And number two, we eat the Word of God. We have that desire for the Word of God, that sincere milk of the Word. James 1:21 talks about receive the Word with meekness. Meekness that's able to save your souls. Jeremiah 15 talks about thy words were found and I did eat them. And they became what?
Joy
and rejoicing. Yeah, the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Matthew 4:4, I'll give you the San Diego version of that. Man can't live by burritos alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the San Diego translation there. Wow. We just eat on God's word. God's word is so sweet. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. There is one more key, though. If you really want to grow for God, there's one more key, a third key that you really need to tap into. And if we go to Ephesians chapter 4, 15, we'll see what that is. One more key. We have three keys here in growing for God. Now, Ephesians 4, 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him, that word grow there is oxano, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. You receive God's word, you hold on to it, and then you speak it forth. There's a principle in life that keeps us from getting stagnant, and it's about giving. Amen. Giving, giving, giving. We hold forth the words of life. You know, if all we do is study the Word and put it in our mind and sit and do nothing, we're not going to grow for God. We got to get out there and speak the Word of God. We've got to speak it how? In love, speaking the truth in love so that we can grow up into Him in all things. I'm sure you're familiar with Philippians 2:16. Talks about holding forth the words of life, right? That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Boy, that's a pretty bold statement when you think about it. To hold forth the words of life, that's what God looks at. That's what He gets excited about. That we're giving out what we have received from God. Being a giver will enhance your life in so many ways. It's amazing. You know, I talked with a young believer the other day. Young being, I think he was 30 years old. That's young to me. And he's looking to move, and he's considering maybe moving to San Diego. So we were talking, and so I asked him some questions. I said, well, what are your goals? What's your purpose in moving here or somewhere else? What are you looking for? Why are you doing this? And he said two things. Well, he had several things, but the first two were this. I want to go someplace where I can grow. Pretty good, huh? Uh-huh. And then he says, I want to learn how to best serve in the body of Christ.
Wow.
Woo, that's golden to me. Man, that's the attitude we want to have. Where can I go that I can grow with God? What can I do so I can grow best for Him? And then, how can I learn to serve better? What can I do to give out the words of God? You know, we all have different abilities and things like that. And we're going to share the word in so many different ways. Some of us may be out there speaking, teaching. Others, just one-on-one maybe. Their life is a living word, and people are attracted to them, and then they tell them the gospel. So many different ways to hold forth the word of God. All right, so let's put it all together here, right? So God makes life to grow, right? Everything grows. And we want to continue to grow in our spiritual life. He has bought us through Christ. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong unto Him. We get outside of our self-centered life and we become God-centered. To do this, we first lay aside all the junk, worldly junk that holds us back. And then number two, we receive the Word, right? We feed on the Word of God. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by
the Word of God.
Yeah, the Word of God. That's where we're going to see believing results, through the Word of God. So what's the third step? Speaking, giving, serving, using the Word of God, holding forth the words of life. All right? So those are the things I want you to remember so you can really grow for Him. Well, I want to close with a beautiful section of Scripture that reflects this lifestyle for God. It's in Colossians. I'll read it to you. And it's my prayer for you. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So let's recognize who we really are and live for our Heavenly Father, for growing for Him, okay?
Amen.
All right, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for how you've made life and especially made us as believers, that we are new creation in Christ. We belong to you. We have eternal life with you. We're so grateful for this, Father, and we're thankful that we can grow for you. What you've done for us is so phenomenal. And I pray that we can grow in the knowledge of your will. We can put off the junk that holds us back in learning and growing for you. And then we can really live our life for you, really reach out with the words of truth and see this family of God grow. So we sure love you, Father, and thank you that we can be in your family and have you as our Father. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.